We're back with more podcast growth tactics, and once again, not all of them are created equal. Today, I'm challenging Justin to grade 5 more popular podcast growth tactics and explain the reasoning behind each grade. We're keeping the same simple grading system, A through F, to help you figure out which strategies are worth your time and which strategies might not be. Welcome to Podcast Playbook. I'm Kyle, and alongside Justin, we run SimplePod Studios, where we help coaches, consultants, and advisors produce and grow their podcast. If you're looking for support with your show, head over to simplepodstudios.com or email me at kyle@simplepodstudios.com. Today, we're grading more podcast growth tactics. Justin, are you ready?
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Part one was fun. You don't have to listen to part one in order to listen to this one. We'll cue that up for after this. But yeah, let's get in through 6 through 10, man. I'm excited for this.
All right, let's get into it. So the first one we have here is email newsletter promotion. What are your thoughts on that one?
Ooh, man, I would love to give this one a higher grade because I love email newsletters so much. I've been writing one for 2 years now, and I see how much it helps our business and how much of a great complement it is to podcasting. I do think email newsletters are fantastic for selling your products and services, for getting someone to book a discovery call, for building relationships with your current audience, even creating that two-way communication channel that I feel like is really hard to do just via a podcast. It's usually unilateral, one way out, versus I send an email newsletter and a couple of people always respond back to me and start a conversation with me, which I love. But I have found that email newsletters just do not drive a lot of podcast growth. So for that reason, I'm going to give this one a D. And I think that's partly just because the nature of email list. You know, someone can come across or stumble across your social media post without knowing who you are, watch a clip, read a post, and then keep on scrolling. They can listen to your podcast. And although that might take some time and attention, you know, someone can discover your show without really making a commitment to you. But subscribing to an email newsletter means that someone has already decided they want to hear from you on an ongoing basis. So by the time that someone is on your email newsletter list, there's already a pretty good chance that they know about your podcast or at least who you are. And collecting an email is going to be so much harder. People are going to be hesitant to hand over an email unless there's some value in return. So that's probably got to be one of your smallest audiences. You know, I think about it from social, then podcast, then email newsletter, and just in terms of audience size. So yeah, I think email is really effective in bringing back like your existing audience to your podcast, just giving them reminders about what you've been up to on the podcast. But I think it's less effective in introducing your podcast to an entirely new audience. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I absolutely want to remind our audience about new episodes and give them another way to consume our content. But since we're grading these on growth tactics specifically, it's not very effective in growing your audience. And that's why I stand by the D. You know, unless you're super proactive in growing your email list, maybe that's through lead magnets or paid ad strategies, and you're seeing a ton of growth just via your newsletter list, I really don't think you're going to see a ton of growth just by promoting your podcast in your email newsletter. I do stand by the fact that I think it's going to be a great middle to bottom of funnel strategy, just not a great top of funnel strategy. You have any thoughts on this one, Kyle?
I do think it's a really great place to start. If there's some easy things just to not overthink, to just like get your podcast episodes out to wherever your current audience is, then do them. Like, it's not like it's that difficult to maybe put together an email newsletter to send out that can basically just be like a promotional newsletter. Like, hey, I've got a new episode live. Same thing with social media. Like, and it can be very supplemental to, I think, if you're doing organic marketing on whatever that medium is.
Oh, man, I wasn't really thinking about it that way, Kyle. But I think you're totally right. I love whenever we get a new client in, just asking them the simple question of like, how are you getting your podcast in front of your current audience? And so many times their answer is, well, we're just publishing the episode. And it's like, how often do we see a podcast grow whenever we simultaneously start a consistent email newsletter as well? Even if it's 100 or 200 or 300 people that's on that email newsletter, it's great because you're introducing those 300 people to your podcast week after week. And we start to see some people actually jump from email to podcast and give it a listen. And you start to build your existing audience more and more on your podcast. And we see some steady growth with that. We had two, you know, one of our clients, we saw this. We started getting consistent on both social media and email at the exact same time. And we've seen their podcast triple in downloads over the last year. We're not really implementing a lot of the other growth tactics that we've talked about in this episode and last episode. It was really just doing the table stakes thing, which is putting out an email out there and being active on one social media platform. We actually did a really great episode on this, I think, if you want to dive a little deeper into this topic, episode 14. We talked about an easy way to repurpose one podcast episode across multiple channels. So episode 14, I think that's a good one to check out if you want to actually implement an email and social media strategy for your podcast. But let's keep moving on, Kyle. What do you got for me next?
So our second point here is podcast SEO. I think that podcast SEO is, you know, one of the highest leverage growth strategies that you can focus on early on. Do you have any thoughts around this?
Yes. I totally agree with you on this one. And I'm not even going to wait to the end. I'm just going to give this a rating of an A. I think this is one of the biggest things that you can do and focus on, especially as a time-strapped and or money-strapped podcaster. This is the one that's kind of free and scalable for you. So yeah, one of the biggest reasons that I really like this is that new listeners who are actively looking for topics that your show covers can find you. So for example, we had a client, he got a lead from his podcast and I asked him, oh, how did the lead find out about your podcast? And he told us he searched for personal finance podcast in his podcast player and Jesse's show was one of the top shows that popped up. He gave it a listen, listened to a couple episodes and then realized, ooh, I really want to work with him. Mm. And that just shows the leverage of podcast search. He didn't find him via a social media channel or a recommendation from a friend or any other avenue. He simply was looking for a personal finance podcast. So he searched that. I think the huge advantage here is that you don't have to sink a ton of time into this effort. It's a lot of upfront work in terms of researching keywords, positioning your show, optimizing your titles and descriptions. That work can continue paying off over time. But there's a few things that you need in order for this to work. And I think this is where people have tried podcast search, but it hasn't really showed the results that I talk about on this show very often. It's because of these three things. First, you have to have a focus show. Like, it's so much easier to rank whenever you have a clear niche and a clear topic. Mm. And if you don't have that, it is going to be very hard for you to compete in very general categories of podcasting. Second, you have to have searchable topics. You have to create episodes around things that people are actually searching for, not things that you like made up in your head, but things that people are asking in Reddit forums or Facebook groups or things that your prospects or ideal customers are asking you. Those are the things that you want to create topics about because those are things that people are actually searching for when they're looking for podcast episodes to listen to. And then you also have to intentionally optimize for these things. You have to know the keywords that need to show up in your show title, in your episode titles, and in your descriptions so that you can rank higher and be in that first fold in terms of when people are searching for that keyword or searching for that term, you actually show up there in the first results because we all know people don't click on the second page of Google. They're going to click on probably one of the first five things that they see. So I think that's probably the big struggle here. I mean, too many shows are too broad. They talk about, you know, business, mindset, leadership, marketing, personal development, all on the same show there. And they're competing against niche shows that are in each one of those categories. And those niche shows are dominating the keywords, not the general business podcasts that are out there. And I think it's difficult because you kind of have to know what you're doing whenever it comes to podcast search. It takes a little bit of tactical knowledge in order to figure out what are some keywords that aren't heavily dominated already that are searched for. And then how do I get them to show up enough in my podcast so that I'm showing up higher in the rank search? So yes, I think when done right, this is an easy A, but done haphazardly without a lot of intentionality behind it, I can quickly see this one sliding down the scale.
Yeah, it's easy to call this an A, but also it's a really difficult decision to arrive upon. So I don't know if I would necessarily call it an A. Might be overvaluing how easy it is to do, but also like how difficult it is to arrive on like the packaging that is so important to be able to present what your show premise is to whoever you're speaking to and then target searchable terms for that target audience. I think a lot of that comes like over time rather than you just being able to click an easy button right now and all of a sudden you'll be getting downloads on your podcast. So Justin, I'm also curious, how would someone track the success of their podcast search strategy?
Yeah, good question. I just quickly want to follow up on something that you said there too. I do think you're right on this. And maybe it doesn't deserve an A for this reason, but it does take time to build search value. Like you got to go out and produce enough episodes and have enough metadata for the podcast players to even know what your podcast is about and what they should be serving up when people are searching for those things. So you're right. It's not like an easy buzz button where it's like, next month I want to grow my podcast via search. Can I get that? You know, can I do it in 2 weeks? Maybe, but it's going to take a little bit more time than just simply saying, I want to start ranking number 5 in this certain search word. But back to your question, how can you actually track this, or how can you see if you're being successful or making progress on search? This has actually been pretty hard, but Spotify is finally giving us some data that I think is going to be helpful here. YouTube has always given us this data. You can go to YouTube into your specific videos and you can see where your views and watchers are coming from. And if you're seeing that a lot of your views are coming from search and or coming from recommended videos, then you're clearly doing something right in terms of targeting specific topics or finding topics that people are looking for, but there's not a lot of content around. And just recently, Spotify has made a couple of updates with inside their platform, Spotify for Podcasters, might be Spotify for Creators now. You don't have to host on Spotify. You can sign up for an account and you can link your account there. And it's got to give you this data. For Spotify specific listeners, it's got to tell you each one of your episodes, how much impressions are you getting on those videos and how much of those impressions are turning into listeners. So if you track this data and see, okay, how do I get my impressions from 1,000 to 2,000 or 2,000 to 4,000 over the next 30 days? You know, a lot of that is going to be representative of the work that you've been doing around podcast search strategy.
What's that other tool that we use, Pod SEO?
Yeah, Pod SEO is another great one. I like Pod. So this is what I would do. I would go sign up for a free account in Pod SEO. I think they give you 5 trackable words. So you can go in, you can type in a couple of words. Let's say that you are a financial advisor and you want to start ranking for college debt payoff strategies. That would be a keyword that I would search for. I would first validate how much volume does that keyword have, and you can do that in Pod SEO, and how competitive is that word on each one of the platforms. And then you can even look at other words. Maybe it's college debt repayment, or like you might find some variations of that and you play with each one of those variations. And then once you find, okay, these are the 3 words that have good volume that aren't really competitive, then you can go to your content planning strategy and think, okay, over the next 6 months, I want this term to show up 12 to 20 times in my content. And that's probably got to be you creating specific episodes around that topic. And then over time, you're going to see yourself grow in your podcast search strategy because you're continuing to feed the podcast players more metadata and sharing, okay, college debt payoff strategies is showing up in more and more of your episodes. Therefore, the podcast players are going to realize you're an expert, or your podcast is an expert in this strategy. So when someone searches for it, let's serve up this podcast first.
Yeah, those are a lot of really good thoughts. So let's move on to podcast growth tactic number 3, promote your podcast when you're speaking on stage. So if you have the opportunity to do this, if you are speaking on stage regularly, this can be a fantastic way to grow your podcast. How are you seeing podcasters do this appropriately, and what would you give this in terms of the ranking?
Anytime that I have spoken on stage the last couple of years and pitched our podcast or my personal podcast, I immediately see downloads, a noticeable increase in downloads that day. So I honestly think this is a really good strategy. And it's always surprising to me. Like, I was on stage last year, actually this year, I was on stage at PodFest, and I pitched our podcast. And I counted beforehand, there was probably about 75 people in the audience. And I immediately saw about 50 downloads come through that day with our podcast. And our podcast was very new at the time. So I expected most of those 50 were people that were sitting in the stage there. And I've seen this correlate other times I've spoken on stage, probably about 10 to 20% of the audience size converting into new podcast listeners. So if you're regularly speaking on stage, easily rank this one a B. And I think it's pretty contingent on a couple of things, of course. Like, how often are you speaking? Doing this once a year probably isn't a growth tactic, but if you're naturally speaking 4 to 6 times a year on stage with, you know, 25 to 200 people in the audience every single time, you have a podcast that gets 100 downloads an episode right now, I could easily see this doubling your downloads over a course of a year, because if you're properly pitching, people are just going to want to check out your podcast. It's an obvious next step. You know, if you think through it, you got 100 people listening to you teach a topic. And if that speech or that talk was really captivating, they're obviously got to want to hear more from you. if you properly pitch your podcast, not only just at the end, but throughout the podcast too, people are going to want to go download episodes. And then I've done it. And I, you know, people have done this to me too. Then on my flight back home from a conference or wherever, like I'm listening to those episodes that I downloaded from speakers that I really liked. So I think this is a great strategy. Once again, I think it's going to be super dependent on how often you're speaking, how large of an audience you're speaking to, how relevant your podcast is to your presentation, and how big your show is currently. But with all that in mind, I think this is going to be a solid B for most of our coaches and advisors that listen to the show.
For the people that are doing speaking engagements, you know, how they go about implementing something like this?
Yeah, let's talk tactical real quick here. So as I mentioned, first, don't just mention your podcast at the very end of your presentation. I think that's a fine place to mention it, but I also think you can find 2 to 3 natural opportunities throughout your presentation to recommend a specific episode. You're going to make a point in your presentation, and then you're going to say something like, if you want to go deeper on this topic, I actually have a whole podcast episode where I walk you through this in detail. So you can go check out episode 15 of Podcast Playbook and get all the details there. So if you find a couple of clear spots throughout your presentation and give those very specific episode recommendations, you're really going to drive people to your podcast feed. You'll see heads go down, opening up their Spotify or Apple apps and searching for your podcast and downloading those specific episodes. And with that thought in mind too, make it really easy for your podcast to be found. You know, have a very clear, memorable podcast name, not one that's hard to spell or search for. Even consider putting up your cover art on those pages whenever you're making those recommendations so they can visually identify, oh yeah, that's the podcast that I'm looking for. I see people even use QR codes so they get direct links to the episodes. That can be a little finicky because sometimes the conference centers have poor Wi-Fi, and I see that go wrong just as often as it goes right. But I think it's a nice addition if you also have the hard text there too of what the podcast episode is and what the numbering is. If you're going to implement this strategy, I think this makes a really strong case for actually putting numbers, episode numbers, in your podcast titles or descriptions. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're actually recommending episodes from stage, or if you do mastermind talks, things like that, people can quickly find the episode that you referenced because you have episode numbers. So once again, you can put those at the very end of your podcast titles, or like we do, it's the very first thing that we add into our podcast description. So you can scroll down and you can see 14, 15, 13, all the way down there, and you can quickly find the podcast that we reference. So don't mention it just at the end. Find multiple times to introduce your podcast throughout the presentation. Make the podcast title super easy to find, and then also make it very easy to find the specific episodes you're referencing by adding episode titles to, or episode numbers to your episode titles or into your descriptions.
Yeah. As podcast creators, it's really easy to create an episode, move on from it, never think about it ever again. But I think a lot of the best creators are thinking about how to recycle their content into the rest of their ecosystem, you know?
Yes.
So let's move on to number 4 here. The fourth podcast growth tactic that we have is get featured on podcast apps, specifically Apple Podcast and Spotify. Man, this is a tough one. I'm not sure that many people have done this before, but what are your thoughts on implementing this strategy?
I left it on this list because I think it is an interesting growth tactic that you should consider. But honestly, I don't have a grade for it because we just don't have enough reps or opportunities to test this ourselves. But I think the potential is really interesting. So getting featured on podcast apps. So Apple, Spotify, other podcast platforms regularly feature shows in a couple of different ways. They're going to highlight podcasts on the home feed. So whenever you log onto the app, you might see some recommendations there. They might have curated collections or playlists that they share, a lot of times around some kind of specific theme. And there's got to be a call out, you know, either a form or you got to respond to an email to submit your show to be featured. A couple of examples I saw recently in July, a podcast player was looking for US history podcasts for 4th of July. I've seen female-hosted podcast features during Women's History Month. I see, you know, podcast features always being around a specific topic or holiday or cultural moment. And if your show fits there, it's always a good opportunity to go and submit your show for that. And the upside, of course, is that you get access to audience that you didn't have to build yourself, which is great. I love any tactic that is built around that. And these platforms are going to put yourself in front of, you know, potentially thousands of potential listeners. So you could see a significant spike. You know, we've had success getting our clients featured on some of the smaller podcasts. So we know the concept can work, but we just haven't had that same kind of success whenever submitting them for Apple yet. So I'm really looking forward to getting approved and into a Apple featured list at some point in time, because I've heard from multiple podcasters that they've been featured and it drove significant amount of traffic to their show. So I'm going to double down on this one and continue to try. I don't think there is a ton of downside to a strategy like this, except for the fact that you don't get control of if this works or if it doesn't. You know, you're not the one that's actually selecting the shows to be featured. You're simply only able to do the work in terms of submitting your show. So that's a bummer. And with that in mind, I don't think this strategy can really be your entire growth strategy. I think it's just almost like a bonus strategy, like something that I'd consider doing once or twice a year, keeping your eye out whenever there's specific themed lists that are out there and going ahead and submitting for Apple at least once a year. So if you want to do this, we'll drop a link in the show notes for Apple's feature request form. They have an Airtable that you just got to complete and submit. And they're open at any point in time for people to submit their podcast to be being featured. Like I said, I like to try this once a year. But on top of that, follow some of the other podcast players' email newsletters, and you'll see whenever they put out requests for certain themes that they're going to be promoting on their podcast app.
Yeah, and speaking of newsletters, I think you can get your podcast featured in more than just the homepages of these players. Like, I think there's a lot of email creators that are, you know, trying to compile the best of the best content resources for whoever their target audience is. Again, this might require a little bit more networking, but just going out and trying to maybe find some of those types of creators to pitch, I think can go a long way. Or, you know, Facebook groups, things like that. Basically just publishing your episodes in places where people are looking for that type of content.
Yeah. Lauren Passell, pretty well-known name in the podcasting space. She's got a email newsletter. What is it? I think it's just called the podcast newsletter, where she shares podcast recommendations in her newsletter. She also has, I know she has a list of 20 other email newsletters that are all dedicated towards recommending podcasts. So yeah, we didn't even have that one on the list of growth tactics, but collaborating with these podcast curators and getting featured in their newsletters or their podcast, I think is a pretty decent strategy to also consider that might be kind of tied into this one.
So our fifth strategy is just be consistent. Post weekly no matter what. And we've all heard consistency is the backbone of podcasting. Do you think this is the thing to do to grow your podcast?
Growth tactic number 10 out of 10. I put this here at the very end for a reason, because I don't disagree with it in theory. I do think publishing sporadically is going to make growing your podcast very difficult. Mm. But today, I honestly see consistency as table stakes, not a growth strategy. Like, yes, you need to be consistent and put out episodes if you want your show to grow. But publishing on, you know, every Tuesday doesn't mean people are naturally just going to listen to your podcast. We've talked about in previous episodes the limited amount of shelf space that podcast listeners have. On average, podcast listeners are listening to about 6 to 8 episodes a week from probably 3 to 4 creators at that time. So with that in mind, you're already competing for limited time with thousands of other podcasters that are also publishing consistently. You know, the competition isn't your consistent podcast versus inconsistent podcast. Your competition is your consistent podcast versus other podcasts that are also consistent and creating incredible content. So, you know, where I do think consistency gets a strong C is that I think the repetitions that are involved with being consistent are going to help you get better. You know, they're going to be the things that are really driving you at getting better at creating content, at delivering your ideas, at identifying topics that are really resonating with your audience, and learning really what makes a great episode. You know, getting good at those things, the skill building around being a consistent podcaster, is what is actually going to lead to growth. But just being consistent itself isn't what actually creates growth. You know, it's those reps and those opportunities that really help you figure out what to do in order to create a podcast that can grow.
Yeah, table stakes is a great word for this. So Justin, that was a lot of fun. Listeners, hopefully this gave you a better idea of what podcast growth tactics are worth your time and which ones might not be. And if you missed part one, go back and check out our grades for those 5 podcast growth tactics. They're really fun. And if you want us to do a part three, send me the growth tactics that you want us to grade at kyle@simplepodstudios.com. And we'll make another episode giving you our grades, breaking down our reasoning. That's it for today.
I'm going to... In that episode, Kyle, I'm going to make you do the grading and the reasoning on those. These have been fun. I don't know if we were aligned on all the episode or all the grades on this. But yeah, I'd love to do a part three. So everybody submit your topics to Kyle and we'll get that one teed up.
So listeners, that's it for today. I'm Kyle. Alongside me is Justin. And this is Podcast Playbook.